Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. Today in the studio, almost live, direct from Shea Stadium, right guys?
Exactly.
I've got Ira Langsteen and Mike Corso from Natterjack Toad.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
You know, I saw you guys at Vintage a couple of times. Vintage, a big club on Main Street in White Plains.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because I live down the block, so I can walk there, have a few drinks, walk home with no worries at all.
Right. It's a great room. It's a great room. We actually, begged to get in there. My partner, who actually is in a band called the Amish Outlaws. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Oh, sure.
They're pretty entertaining. Anyway, they were playing there for like a year or so, and finally, you know, he made an introduction for us, and I showed up and met Declan, dropped off a CD, and you know, about 100 calls later, we finally got in there. Now we're playing there like every 6 weeks, I'd say. That's kind of
feel like the house band.
Yeah, we're like we consider that home base, but we're also playing now in Woodlawn at the Ramblin' House, which is a great Irish pub in the North Bronx. And we're going to be playing hopefully at Vertigo in Nyack. It's a great room. And they've just been doing DJ stuff because they don't want to spend money right now on music. But I think we're going to just go in there and say, look, you know, we want to play this, you know, this room, and we can bring in a crowd. So, you know, let's just do it.
Well, at the end of the day, it's economics.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, a lot of these rooms, musicians are funny. They say, well, you should have a crowd. We should just come, and the crowd should be there and enjoy it. And the owner mm-hmm. says, we don't need you mm. if you're not going to bring a crowd. But I know you guys can deliver because I've seen it.
Yeah.
Now, you're a rock band?
Yeah, we bill ourselves as rock, funk, and R&B. You know, some blues. But, it's rock-based, but since we started out with, the four-piece, and then we added on keys and then horns, so we got, you know, sax, trumpet, and then we added on percussion, so we have our good friend Ed Torres, who plays congas and timbales, so we started doing some Santana, some, you know, Stevie Wonder, and, you know, things that even the Jack Johnson stuff we're doing, you know, has a lot
of... Who else is in the band? Shout everybody's name.
The core of the band is on bass, Barry Wiseman. Drummer is Steve Danico. Myself, Mike Corso. Ira Langsteen on lead guitar. And we've got Bino from Croton on Hudson. He's on keys. Dan Bierenbaum on sax. And Ed Torres on percussion.
Interesting. A lot of the bands I interview are mostly Italian.
Mm-hmm. Is that so?
This sounds like the Jewish mafia.
It is.
50%, absolutely. Okay.
And how many people? 7, 8, 9?
So sometimes 10. Right now a solid 7, but, you know, probably 8, you know, if we add another horn player. We like to, you know, bring in some horns. And also Ed, our percussionist, will bring his conga master, a guy named Christian Rivera. Who plays with us. When he's not playing with us, he's playing with, like, Bobby Sanabria in the city, you know, Latin, you know, Afro-Cuban orchestra. Unbelievable hands. So he joins us usually, when we're playing, because it doesn't conflict with what he's doing.
That's very interesting, because I play in a three-piece, mm-hmm. Roger Z and the Zygotes, and I do three-piece so that everybody can go home with a decent chunk of change at the end of the night.
Right.
Now, you're talking 8, 9, 10 people.
Right. We're not in it for the money.
Wasn't that the mothers of invention?
Yeah.
That's right.
Perhaps.
Basically, what's happened is we're all family guys. We've all come together at this stage. You know, started playing instruments in our teen years, just loved classic rock, and have just sort of, you know, had a rebirth in music. So I think it's the enjoyment, and any money that comes in is sort of gravy.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Like after we probably, I don't think any of us were really playing, you know, seriously after college for like 15 years, right? You know,
exactly.
Just bedroom stuff. You know, just come home maybe 10, 15 minutes, a couple of times a week, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened when we got close to 40. In fact, the band started when I met Steve Danico, the drummer. We hosted a lunch for the school, the kids in my son's, I think it was play school. We had all the families over for a lunch, and that's how I met Steve, who lived, you know, 5 minutes walking from me. I never knew, and he had a studio in his house. He plays drums, so he was practicing in the basement, and he saw what I had hanging up in my basement, you know, several guitars, drums, keyboards, the whole thing, and just real informal jams with my close friends. Nothing, you know, structured.
But we had actually jammed together back in the 80s.
Right.
When Mike was playing some drums, and we'd meet at the rehearsal studio in the city.
Right. And that was like two or three times a year. You know, that's how we would let loose. You know, we'd get together, like five of us in the city. We'd rent some, you know, dive on 34th Street or somewhere on the west side. And that was our outlet. And it just kind of, you know, nothing ever happened. And then, like I said, something happened where I guess it was this meeting with Steve. You know, he said, hey, look, it looks like, you know, you're into music. You know, I've been thinking about, you know, getting a band together. I said, yeah, I'd like to get a band together also, you know. And I had no idea what that meant. You know, I was never really in a rock band, you know. And I figured, you know, okay, maybe in a couple of years we'll learn 10 songs and go play somewhere, you know. But, you know, in a year we actually had, you know, 20 to 30 songs down, and we had a couple of house parties. And that's where it happened. We had like 100 people show up at our house parties, and then you know, the word got out. So by the time we started playing places like, you know, Vintage, you know, we would get 200 people showing up at the club.
Well, you can't argue with 200 people paying $10 a pop.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you're right. When you split it up, it's not what we're doing it for. So,
no, but
it's good to, you know, for the, you know, the private events. We've done a couple of private events where there's, you know, some more money. But that's, you know, still, we're not looking to, you know, do that on a regular
exactly.
basis.
We're
we play
up,
once
you know,
a month. Yeah.
For the Northern Westchester Hospital, we did a nice benefit for them. They throw something every year, so we were there last
year.
Yeah, we
did. That was at the Bedford Golf and Tennis Club, so it was a really, you know, high-class affair. And then, you know, we show up in our
we were the Flamingo Kids.
They let loose. They had a great time.
They did.
Now, you guys want to talk about your money-paying gig, or?
Oh, our day jobs you're talking
yeah.
about.
The day
well,
job.
Well, me, we have a relationship there.
I'm going to be seeing you tomorrow morning,
that's
which
right.
I didn't realize till I got home
exactly.
from work today. You'll be peering very closely into
right.
my mouth.
We have an intimate relationship. I've been doing dentistry now for 20 years. It's hard to believe it, but it's my 20th year in practice, and I'm just going to go as long as I can. That's it.
The fans know him as the doctor. He's one of the best oral surgeons you'll find in all of America. I know this because he's working on me presently.
Shout out to practice.
You didn't.
That's it. Our group is the Westchester Dental Group. We're here in White Plains, 220 Westchester Avenue. I work with Dr. Matt Teich and Stu Graber. We
sexiest dental team alive.
That's what it is. And Just doing a lot of great work and hitting our prime now.
Yeah, you didn't know this until we showed up, or did you know?
No.
I didn't realize. You told me it was going to be Ira Langstein,
right.
But I mean, to me, he's Dr. Langstein.
Without my scrubs on, he didn't recognize me.
Right.
It's Dr. Langstein, and you know, the way dentistry works is because my teeth are fairly decent, a little yellow, but fairly decent.
He's in good shape.
I go in, you know, they torture me clean. Every time I go in, you know, either it's the water pick torture or it's the grind and polish
they
torture.
They love it.
Right. They love it, but the thing is they spend a half an hour cleaning me, taking the x-rays.
Right.
He comes in for 30 seconds. You're fine. That's it.
But those are the words he wants to hear.
That's right.
You're going to get more attention going forward, though. Now he knows he's got another music buddy in the office.
He knows I play
music. We've talked music before.
Right. Because one of his partner's wife runs a band booking business.
Right.
Al Prince.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. And they've been doing it forever. And I'll plug them. It's a smoking business. They've got great DJs. Jay Prince, a personal friend of mine, is the lead guitarist and singer in one of their main bands. And they're just all over the county.
Now, does Dr. Teich, is he part of that, or is it just his wife?
Teich's musical experience ended about 35 years ago. Just attempted the violin, that ended. But no, he's not involved in the musical aspect of it.
and they don't hold it against you. They still let you. Did they know you played guitar when you joined the practice?
It's funny. At Dr. Teich's wedding, I actually sat in with Jay, and we played. So we have a little history there.
All right. It's still a shock because I didn't even realize I had an appointment tomorrow. I got home. One of your administrators left a message. And like I told you, for me, I get paid by the hour in my day job, so that's 2 hours down the drain. Yeah. But you guys are good because you get me in at 8, so that's nice.
He's coming in, he's going to be out.
Very considerate of you.
These guys are great. What about you, sir?
I have my own affiliate marketing business on the internet. I run a couple of websites, one that's been around since 94, which is Cool Site of the Day.
I remember that. I remember that from the beginning of the internet.
Cool Site of the Day is the original award site on the internet. Every day we've been, you know, for 14 years, whatever.
I didn't know it was still around.
We've been picking websites, you know, daily. So people who are just looking for some random good stuff, they bookmark Cool Site of the Day, and that's like their start page for the day.
Are you an original owner?
I actually bought it in 98. After
wow.
Came down south to buy it.
I did, actually. That's right. I stayed with you. It was owned by a big newspaper chain in Virginia, and I bought it from them because they had no business being in that business.
I remember when it was first started, and it was just a couple of guys.
Right.
And then they probably took the big money, smartly so.
Yeah. Well, actually, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, they kind of got run out by the newspaper company that owned it.
So
it was like... Not Gannett.
Landmark Communications?
I think now it's Landmark. But it was part of Gannett.
So they didn't own it to start it?
No, they were employees of the company. So
who came up with the idea, Cool Site of the
Day? Yeah, one of the employees did. But it was company property. And before the boom, the internet boom, they had already moved on, and that's when, actually even like a year or two before the real boom, that's when I got in and bought it. So it was good timing for me. And then from that I got involved in just creating a lot of other sites, like product marketing sites. So I do a lot of affiliate marketing. If you don't know what that is, just go to somewhere like linkshare.com or commissionjunction.com and you'll see. But my main site is Cool Site of the Day, otherwise cnotes.com, C-N-O-T-E-S. And, of course, our website is natterjacktoad.com.
Before I forget, I used to do stuff with Linkshare many years ago.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago.
Right.
Natterjacktoad. Mm. What does it mean?
Natterjacktoad is actually a toad found in Europe, primarily, I think, England. I was reading a book on amphibians and reptiles with my son one night, and we just came across the description of the natterjacktoad. Which is known for its loud bellow. The male toad can be heard from a mile away, which seemed apropos because when the police showed up at our practice on Wednesday night, he said he could hear us from a mile away. Apparently one of the neighbors had called. So it just seemed fitting that we just thought it sounded like a cool name. It looks cool, and it actually has some relevance for...
It just shows how America has changed. Now the police are coming because the parents are making noise.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. There was a feature on us in the patent trader of the Journal News, not a few months ago. And it was Rock Me Daddy, and it was just about, eight guys who get together, all of us have children. All of us have children, and, most of our kids are, just... really getting into the music as well, and I have three sons, so they come down while we're practicing, and my 7-year-old is as good a conga player as anyone I've ever seen. He's just amazing. I've got a young trumpet player, but all of our kids are pretty much growing up with the music as well, and we are making more noise than they do.
You bring up a good point. The C.F. Payne is the he's the Reader's Digest artist. I don't know if I sent you that print.
No.
He's got a an illustration of guys our age jamming in the basement, and the daughter of one of them makes her way down the stairs and looks
horrified.
And is horrified.
We look a lot better than that character.
Not much, but we did.
Well, that's pretty funny, because I've got two teenage kids, a 15-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, and my son's just gotten heavily into music, but neither one of them really likes rock. And the reason is, because rock isn't played on the radio other than what I call the new oldies stations. Classic
exactly.
Rock is the new oldies.
Right.
Other than, well, that's not true. I mean, there's There's one big Canadian hard rock group. I'm forgetting their name now.
Bachman Turner. Oh, you mean the Current?
Yeah, Current. There's a couple, but it's okay. If you look at the top ten, it's 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Is
you mean Z100 artists?
Well, but come on. When I grew up, I listened to ABC and WINS, AM, and they were top 40.
Yeah.
You know, top 40.
WLIR, all the great New York stations. You know, album just, rock. There's no album rock.
It's just that well, that cyclical change in music. Right now we're in a bad period, but, you know, there's a lot of gems out there anyway.
Well, but I guess what I'm saying, my kids, they don't really get to hear rock as top 40.
Right.
My son really has no use for it. Every time I turn a song on the radio, I go, Spence, you like that? And he goes, Dad, I told you, I'm just not interested in your music.
Yeah. Now, but he hears you play?
About it.
Oh, he hears me play all the time.
Because that's interesting. My sons, they listen to, you know, hip-hop and rap and anything we play. So it's interesting. Like, they love the stuff we're doing, but when they turn on the radio or if they go to my iPod, you know, they're first going to go to the hip-hop and you know, the rap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come down to, like, a Natterjack Toad playlist, they lock in. But they would never do that if we weren't playing it. So, yeah, it's hard to get kids right now, young kids. But I figure, you know, by the time they get to 6th or 7th grade, then they start to develop, you know, a little bit more.
Well, it's funny. Last weekend, my daughter's 14.
Okay.
And she was, you know, it's a tough age, but she was in English class. And her teachers, probably our age, they were reading Lord of the Flies and getting into that whole vibe. And so she says, I want you all to hear a song about how, you know, just what reflects on us, and she starts playing Sympathy for the Devil, which is one of our songs and one of our favorite songs. And my daughter Sam came home from school and said, I knew every word. I was the only one in the class who knew it.
This brings up a real pet beef with me, because I recently went to my daughter's high school for open night, and I want to know why these kids are reading the same books I read when I was in their grade. Has nothing been written in 35 years? Lord of the Flies, Edith Hamilton,
and
Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye. I just can't believe that a decent book has not been written in
Ayn Rand.
Right.
Anthem.
Right. I was pissed. I said to the teacher, why is there nothing new under the sun that they could read?
Mm.
And the kids really don't want to read this stuff because it has,
you're right.
It has no, I mean, to me, I loved Catcher in the Rye, but it was actually, it wasn't that old when I read it, and I could relate to the kid. I don't think kids today can relate to Holden Caulfield in any way whatsoever.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, yo, teachers, if you're watching, update your curriculum, please.
What did that teacher say to you?
She looked at me in shock. She looked at me in shock because...
Really?
And, you know, she gave you the typical politician's answer. I have nothing to do with it, you know.
Right.
But anyway, guys, so that's just so interesting. So some more tunes that you got. People come down, what are they going to hear?
We have a pretty eclectic lineup. We do 3 sets. We cover everything from
The band,
Deep Purple, Santana, Stevie Wonder, Van Morrison.
Name some tunes.
Jack Johnson. Well, Santana, we're doing Soul Sacrifice and Oye Como Va.
With
Jack Johnson, staple it together. Stevie, we're doing I Wish,
which is interesting because sort of our signature is that we pick out popular musicians, but we play sort of offbeat or deeper cuts of the band. So
cool.
We're not playing Smoke on the Water or My Woman from Tokyo. We're playing Hush,
right?
Or
Hush.
If we're playing we're playing Ophelia.
That's a nice
and
story.
Now we're actually starting to venture into a little Jerry Garcia. We're working on Sugary and this new Ryan Adams tune, New York, New York.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Which has been fun. But, you know, we...
And we're digging up the Stooges, I Want to Be Your Dog. You know, just so inspired by the R.E.M. Patti Smith version on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few weeks back.
So, I saw Iggy at the 1964 Fairgrounds in Queens.
Flushing,
like...
Did you see Hendrix then also?
I saw Iggy, and he took a glass bottle and ripped his chest open, and I was just, like, flabbergasted. Why on earth would you do that? I mean, and he opened for the MC5.
Right. Yeah.
But
my brother tells me about seeing shows there, like the
Flowers. to me, the world has really changed because, I mean, I remember going to Central Park, sitting up on the rocks, seeing Led Zeppelin for free.
Yeah. And if you, and Schaefer if you, Music Festival?
Yes.
Right.
And if you wanted to pay $250 or $350, you could get front row seats.
Right.
And nowadays, you almost have to take out a mortgage.
Right. That's the saddest thing about the live, the touring business right now.
It's all commercial. It's all sponsored. You know.
Well, the fact that young kids, you know, it's not accessible to, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds.
Well, I think the real issue is the fact with the antitrust laws that they allow one company to own 75% of the venues in the country, to own 5 radio stations in a market, to own 7 newspapers.
Right.
If you own all the venues to play at, if you own the radio stations, you're going to own the artists.
Right.
And you're going to pick and choose. And to me, I mean, this whole thing now where they're trying to shut down the internet web radio. They're saying that they want the internet. They want them to pay the artists a high royalty. Meanwhile, regular radio pays virtually nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the people who own the regular radio who don't want these people leading their business.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think it's a shame in this country that everybody. It's expensive to get elected. Mm-hmm. And to get elected, you're bought and paid for.
Exactly.
And I think the real shame is it used to be you were bought and paid for by American corporations. Now you're bought and paid for by multinational corporations who don't even have a loyalty to this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty bizarre. Let's move to your influences.
Yeah, I'm glad you could get that off your chest.
Well, it bothers me.
Well, just before we leave that, what about the issue of ticket prices being, you know, like, $150, $200, $300 to go to the Garden to see, you know, Stones, The Who, U2, whoever.
Well, here's the deal. If you have one company like Clear Channel. Clear Channel owns 75% of the venues in this country. They can do whatever they want. When I went to concerts...
Right, but no one's forcing people to pay that kind of money, right?
But look who's going. It's the older demographic. Back in the day, anyone over 30 didn't go to a rock concert.
Right.
Now... It's everybody over 30.
Yeah, it's a completely different time.
Although my daughter's talking about going to this festival this summer that's going to have like 30 kind of semi-known bands.
Yeah, like a Bonnaroo or something.
You hear that?
I do.
That's right. I wonder who's calling me.
I'm glad it's you. I knew that wasn't mine.
I don't even recognize. Probably the next guest telling me they're going to be late. Oh, got the calendar. Let's just
slide my ringer's on off.
Well, I'm new to this technology. Can't figure out how to shut it off. Let's talk about your influences.
Sure.
We talked about what 2 albums you guys would bring to a desert island.
Oh, 2.
Or maybe what's on your iPod. Yeah. I don't really care. People just want to know what your influences are, what
I'll
you're
jump
interested
in. There.
Go ahead.
The Beatles. I'm a Beatles fan. I've always been a Beatles fan. I go through periods where I lose them for a while and I rediscover them. We just read a great book by one of their engineers, Jeff Emmerich.
I heard it.
And it's terrific. And the Kinks. I'm a huge Ray Davies fan. Dave Davies, just his guitar work, always unpredictable. They've got some heavy power chords, great melodies. Everything's different, and they go on for decades. It's just...
Well, they were the original Fighting Brothers on stage.
Absolutely. They were the prequel to the Gallaghers, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except they had a ton more hits.
Oh.
Now, favorite Beatles album, or 2 favorite Beatles albums?
That changes, but I'd say Abbey Road. Side 2 of Abbey Road. Probably something I would take with me on a desert island.
Mm.
It's got everything. It's got melody. It's got that great jam at the end. After and Carry That Weight. But Here Comes the Sun. Just got it all.
Want to hear a bizarre fact? I brought in Yellow Submarine, the new version of it, where they threw out all the classical music and just loaded half of Sgt. Pepper's on it.
Right.
And I gave it to this friend of mine who's from England, and he listened to it, and he was listening, and he comes back to me and he goes, Yellow Submarine, he goes, Ringo is so out of pitch on that song. And I went back and I listened to it, and it was like Ringo's way up in the mix. He's not double tracked, and gosh darn it, he was totally off pitch. But on that album also, because they stuck some Sgt. Pepper's tracks, was with a little help from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy pointed out to me, my friend Malcolm Chesworth, he pointed out, oh, see, they, he said to me, first of all, they lowered his vocals in the mix, they double-tracked it, and he said he thinks on that album they were the first ones to use this machine that brings your voice into pitch.
You know, I don't.
Well, there were a couple of references in the book here, here, there, and everywhere.
Yes,
right?
Jeff Emmerich.
Just an awesome book where it talks about Ringo's singing in particular. But there was really only one reference, and I forget which song. I don't think it was Yellow Submarine, but there was one. Actually, I think it was a solo album where Ringo actually said, you know, leave it, it's fine, no one will know. Because he, you know, everyone kind of said, we need to do this over, and Ringo was like, don't worry, no one will ever know. And the bottom line is, no one ever did know. It went out, and it was kind of like a, you know, just, it sounded like Ringo, and it worked. Whatever song, I wish I could remember the name of the song. But that, as far as changing the pitch, they were changing speed on some things, but I don't think they were
Led
doing
Zeppelin
it on vocals.
Led Zeppelin used to do that for Robert Plant.
When the levee breaks, I mean, that's like, you know, I'd love to play that live, but, you know, you can't, how do you get that sound? You know,
they would slow the record down so for him to sing it.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, your favorite CDs.
Yeah, I have an iPod, you know, loaded with 3,000 things, but I grew up listening to everything from Led Zeppelin to classical, Baroque, jazz, big jazz rock fusion fan. You know, I guess in my adolescent years, I was way into that. Cobham, Return to Forever. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. Very into that. And then got back into rock, but I'd say that, you know, right now, if I had to have, I would pick, you know, live albums, because they're usually double, you know, albums. There's like more music, so I could have more music on the island. But Martin Sexton, I was telling him before, Martin Sexton has a double live album called Live Wide Open.
And it's terrific.
It is an unbelievable recording. And it's just him on guitar and a drummer. And it's just great stuff. But, you know, like The Joker, Steve Miller, you know, just a great album. Zeppelin's Song Remains the Same, you know, just, you know, I don't know, I feel
like forever.
Yeah, but anyway.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Natterjack Toad for coming down today.
Our pleasure.
I will see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. after your hygienist does her...
I'll be on time.
And okay. Next time you'll have us back and we'll play some music.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Great.
Clear.
Cool. I like that you're clear. That's good.